Does the Defense Department have too many chiefs to be efficient? A new plan from Defense Secretary Robert Gates could slim the number of senior military officers by at least 50 and would trim 150 senior civilian positions, all part of an effort to save money. Winslow Wheeler is director of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information, and he says these reductions might not be enough. Mr. Wheeler joins us now live to talk about it. So, Mr. Wheeler, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thanks very much.
And you say the number of high-level officers tied directly to military success, maybe they need to trim more, that they're just too top-heavy?
Right. The goal of 50 generals and admirals and 150 senior executive service bureaucrats is less than half of the generals and senior bureaucrats we've added since 9/11. And back in September 10th, 2001, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld then complained that the Pentagon was stuffed with bloat and overhead and too many people at the top. So we have a long ways to go even to return to the previously unacceptably high levels of what we're now calling officer creep.
And just aside from the cost of all those officers, what is the effect on military readiness and quality?
That's very significant. It's not just a matter of the salaries of these generals. It's the offices they command and their costs. But even more important than that, if you look at militaries historically, the ones with large ratios or large numbers of officers compared to enlisted are the least efficient, tend to lose wars, like the French and Italians in World War II, and so on. Our ratios have been declining significantly for the worse since World War II. What it means is a military that is slow to react to unfolding events, doesn't fully understand its environment, is more focused on itself. It's a bigger problem than just money.
How do you discern what the right number would be, though? I mean, doesn't it depend on what's going on at the time?
Well, that's a very appropriate question. And to deal with these kinds of problems, there's no perfect number, but you can start setting goals of returning to levels from the past where we had a more efficient number. Returning to our 2001 levels would be a modest start, but it'd be a more significant step than I think what Secretary Gates has suggested. I mean to say here that what he's doing is the right thing. We just need a lot more of it.
We're speaking with Winslow Wheeler. He's the director of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information. So how would you handicap the chances of some of these jobs actually disappearing? Because they pull along, as you say, a retinue of offices and people, plus maybe congressional sponsors.
Well, we've already seen the selfish people and the porkers on Capitol Hill swearing they'll try to fight this. State of Virginia political delegation, both Democrats and Republicans, have said to the nation that the other 49 states need to feed money into Virginia to sustain a command, Joint Forces Command, that study after study, and even the Pentagon itself, has said is superfluous. And it's precisely that kind of attitude that I think we should handle roughly as we try to enter a new age of a different budget situation for the Pentagon where money is no longer free. That kind of selfish attitude we've seen from Senators Webb and Warner and Governor McDonnell really needs to be identified for what I believe it is.
Are we speaking specifically of military personnel, particularly top brass and the top heavy brass of the military, or would high-ranking civilians also be something to consider?
Oh, we're certainly talking about both. The growth in the civilian bureaucracy and the clog that it causes in decision-making has been at least as bad as in the military. A former official, Larry Korb, remarked that we've added almost multiples of the bureaucracy in the Office of Secretary of Defense since he was in that office in the 1980s. And back then, we had a much more serious opponent and a much larger military.
Yes, I wanted to ask you that very question about the other end, the tooth end of the military, because assuming we accept the obligations that we have traditionally accepted around the world, and looking ahead at, say, China, the report just came out on the China threat and so forth, is the size of the tooth of the military operational force big enough in your estimation, and how can that possibly be enlarged significantly given the recruiting situation they have?
Well, we certainly have a problem there. Our budget for the Pentagon has been growing significantly for a long time, but especially since 1998. It's now the highest ever since the end of World War II by a meaningful margin. But counterintuitively, that growing and huge budget has bought us a continuously shrinking, aging force that we train less. And we've been in a syndrome for a long time of a lot and increasing money buying a older, weaker force. And that's one of the biggest challenges that Secretary Gates faces and that we need to really address.
And finally, it sounds like almost a call to emulate China's approach, because they have a much leaner military budget and yet seems to be growing exponentially.
Well, I'm no expert on the Chinese armed forces. What I have seen is that their budget is less than a third of ours, and a lot of their equipment is imitations of Russian equipment. They do certainly present a serious problem for our Navy. They've been specializing in ways to sink aircraft carriers for a long time now, and they've got some real threats to that. But remember, as rapidly as China is growing economically and as rapidly as their budget is growing, they are a small fraction of what we spend.
Winslow Wheeler, director of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information, thank you very much for joining us with that analysis.
It's my pleasure. Thanks very much for asking me.